The name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, whom God, Amen. Many happy returns. Today we celebrate the feast of our fathers, the apostles, and this day marks the martyrdom of our fathers, Peter and Paul. They both were killed by Nero in one day in the year 67 AD. So today we try to reflect on a lesson that we learn from our father, the apostles. Our fathers were able to do something that we now we look at it, 12 people along with another 70. How those simple people, this a few number of preachers, they were not trained, they were not in any way educated to impress others, how they were able to preach the word of God to the whole world. What we learn from them is their goal was clear all the time. They never got distracted. Their eyes were always focused on what they are supposed to do. And I do not want, while we hear today about our fathers and how their goal was clear, that we think this is something that pertains to them. We all have a certain goal, and actually our goal is the same, like them. Their goal was one, that's to glorify Christ. If I ask any of you today, what is your goal in life? The answer should be the same. We are also called to glorify Christ. Maybe we have other goals, but they are all secondary. We all want to succeed. We all want to raise our children in a good way, make them to be successful children. All of these goals are okay. But at the end of the day, all of them should bring us to this one goal, to glorify Christ. Our father, the apostles, understood this is the only goal that they are living for, and whatever they do, their eyes will always fixed on this goal. So they understood, how can we glorify Christ? Christ's will is for others to be saved. So the way to glorify Him, the way to please Him, is to bring others to the knowledge of the truth. So this is what they did all the time. They went everywhere preaching and bringing more people to the knowledge of God. Their success hanged on this focus, because if they would lose their focus even for a day, they wouldn't reach this noble goal that they lived and died for. So what are the common distractions? We'll speak today about 7 distractions that could have happened to them, they didn't, and they sometimes actually they happen to us and distract us from this goal to glorify Christ in our temporal time here on earth. What is the first distraction? The first one was to live a double life. It is easy to talk. What I'm doing today, stand and talk to you, is the easiest thing actually when it comes to how to promote an idea. We hear from people all the time messages to promote certain ideas or concepts. But the difficult thing is to live what they say. And this is what happened exactly. This kind of confusion never befell upon them. We never heard of our father, the apostles, having a secret life that nobody knows about it. When they are on their own, when they are living in their homes or with families, they would do something totally different than what they are calling people to live by. St. Paul actually summarized this when he spoke to the Corinthians. He's saying, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. They were God-fearers, so people believed them. What they spoke is what they tried to live, honestly, sincerely. This is a stumbling block to everyone. Whenever people see us doing something and in secret we do something else, we have a life that's known to the people in the church, and we have another life that's only known maybe by us or by other friends, that they know whom truly we are. Look here how none of the people dared to join them. Why? They are just as fishermen, simple people. Why people did not dare to join them? Because they perceive them as holy men, truly righteous, people who are seeking God and His kingdom. The people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So the first distraction that they never fell in was to lead a double life, a life of godliness before men and another life in secret. The second distraction that they did not also fall in was to try to secure their own lives. This life security is a big distraction for us also. Look what's happening now. We are dreading the virus, and this sometimes makes us to do things that's ill, not logic, and maybe sometimes make us to doubt our faith. Some people, they do not want to take communion because they feel like communion might transfer for them illness. The idea about securing life is not wrong in itself, but when it goes to this, up to this, that we feel even I cannot touch the blood of Christ because this might carry for me an illness, then something here went wrong, and we need to re-examine our position here. Look here what St. Paul says in the book of Acts chapter 4, this is actually, this is John and Peter. This is not the right reference. This is St. Paul. The Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me, but none of these things move me, nor I count my life dear to myself. This is Acts chapter 20. This is when St. Paul was speaking to the elders from Miletus. He said to them, chains and tribulations are waiting for me, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Is it because he's an apostle, then he does not count his life dear himself? It is actually for every Christian. Our lives, yes, are important, but they are not more important than many other things, including serving others and being like helpful in a difficult time. St. Paul did not feel like I have to secure my life. I have to take care of myself to the point that I will be busy with this over my ministry. The disciples, when they were scourged and beaten in Acts chapter 5, we hear that they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. It was something for them to rejoice when they were beaten, they were scourged, and their life were threatened. This kind of distraction never confused our fathers, the apostles. They never hesitated to offer themselves. All of them died as martyrs except St. John the Beloved because they were not distracted by trying to secure their own life. Another distraction also that could have befell on them is self-glorification. Imagine you are St. Peter, and when you walk, you find people in the street, they come, they don't touch you. They come near you, maybe behind you. So only your shadow will fall upon them, and people will be healed. How tempting is this for St. Peter to think of himself that I'm a big deal. Look here, only my shadow will heal the sick. But this was not the case. The disciples were able to raise the dead, but this was not something that would be tempting to them. This is a common temptation for those who work in the ministry. Whenever they do something and it succeeds, they think of themselves that they are a big deal. It is me that I'm doing something like this. They never fell in this kind of temptation, distraction. Look here, after Peter and John raised the lame person who was seated at the door called the Beautiful in the temple, they said, when the people start to look at them, surprised and amazed and admiring them, they said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. We have nothing to do with the whole story. We are just here, the tools. They understood they are just the microphone, and God is the one speaking through them. They are just the tools that he is using in order for him to heal others. They were not tempted to glorify themselves. The same also happened with St. Paul and St. Barnabas. When they healed a sick person, so the priests of the temple at that time, these priests actually are pagan priests. They thought of them as gods who came on earth and they wanted to offer sacrifice before them. So we read this account, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. The fourth temptation or distraction is the distraction of to be so busy with the administration to forget what exactly they are called to do. Administration is something important. It's important that church, it's important our houses, it's important everywhere. Without good administration, whatever the organization, will never be able to function well. The disciples never ignored the administrative part of this work, but they understood they are not going to be busy with it to the point of forgetting what we are supposed to do. When there was a problem in distributing the food, and there was some kind of discrimination, food was given to the widows of the Jewish people more, or in a way that is not fair for the widow of a Greek background. They understood they need to find someone to do this work, and they said, the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They appointed the 7 deacons, and those people did the work that is needed in the church at that time. Sometimes this happens in our homes as well. We're so busy with the administration, who buys and who gets whatever from store, and how much we handle the money, what happens. All of these are needed, and there should be some kind of order, but it should not be on the expense of the main goal in life. This is to glorify Christ. The fifth distraction that our fathers could have filled in but didn't happen is the political correctness. To speak something that's appealing to everyone, not to offend others. This is the plague of our time. It is not the COVID-19, by the way, that's like the most dreadful thing that we are encountering. It is this one, the political correctness, and the desire of people to say things that to please even the most crazy among others. Just like say whatever, make them to be happy. We hear this from politicians when they ask them question about a sensitive matter like abortion or like homosexuality, and they speak a lot and say nothing, and they never make a stand in order to always gain the approval of other people. Our father, the apostles, even though they tried to gain others, but not to themselves, they wanted to gain people to the knowledge of the truth. This is very different. Look here when they spoke about salvation. This is Peter and Paul speaking to the temple again. They speaking about the Lord Jesus, saying, this is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Imagine someone now comes and says something like this in the media. He will be stoned if this is going to happen in this time that we live in, the black time of political correctness. Also, look here, when the chief priests and the scribes, they brought Peter and Paul and to threaten them not to speak again about Christ, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. It was clear in their minds, they are not here to play politics. They are not trying to gain people on the expense of communicating the truth. If you love someone, let him know the truth. This is not the way people Christian people should live. The sixth distraction is the distraction of trying to find resources in order for the ministry to succeed. Our fathers never thought about this kind of issue. Where we bring the money? Imagine you have those few people, they are supposed to go worldwide and preach to the whole world. And we never see any discussion among themselves about where can we get the money from? How can we secure funds? How can we make a fundraising in order for us to be able to get the money needed. And we see also that the people, when they had the money, it was with intention to mention that the money was laid at the feet of the apostles. This is where exactly the money should be, at the feet of the apostles. It has no value for them. The main tool they used to preach to for this their ministry to be successful is their trust in God. They believe in the cause that they are promoting. Look here, when St. Peter and St. John met with the lame person at the gate called the Beautiful, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was a beggar. He has nothing else to expect from Peter and John. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He made it known, not only to this person, but to all of us. What did St. Peter have with him? What made him to feel, "I'm rich, I have something that's worth more than the whole world. I have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which I complete my ministry and by which I make the miracles in his name." The seventh distraction that our fathers, the apostles, never fell in was the distraction of divisions. This is a big one, and it's a sad one as well. When we find the churches that stopped already from doing what they are supposed to do because divisions inside the church, or we find households that is not agreeing, and divisions are making the mission of this house to be threatened. Look here, what is the Bible is saying, testifying about the Spirit among our father, the apostles. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." This simplicity of heart that made people to feel like we are one, this is exactly how we keep our focus. There is no time, my brethren, to waste in inside fights and battles, and this person is upset, and this person he feels in hurt, and this person feel like this was what done to me was unfair. All of this nonsense, there is no time for this. Time is short, and for us we have to continue our mission to the last day, doing what's befitting us as Christians. Our father, the apostles, if they started from the beginning saying who is for Paul and who is for Apollos and who is greater than whom and who should be pleased and the other person is upset, they wouldn't go beyond maybe Jerusalem in their mission. They were never divided, and that's why they were successful. So today we learn from our fathers how they maintained their focus. They had only one goal to achieve. They were never distracted by anything. And that's what made them to be at the end those great men that whom today we are celebrating their feast, asking them to pray on our behalf so God may allow us to continue our time fulfilling our ministry to the last breath. To God be the glory forever and ever.